Actor reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. This is Back to Reality. I am Asma. I have the honor to be your host. And as for today, we have two very dear guests, Sister Zainab and Sister Bita. Welcome to the studio, sisters.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to be with both of you. And since it is the ritual in here for the guests to introduce themselves, I would like you to very much briefly introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background about yourself.
I am Zainab Askari, and I am actually from Indian administrated Kashmir. And I have been living in Iran for some 9 years now.
Yeah.
And before that, I have done masters in linguistics from Kashmir University, and then I joined Hausa in Qom.
Assalamu alaikum, my dear sisters and dear listeners. I am Bita, and again, I have the pleasure to be here with you too, and especially our listeners. And I'm studying medicine in Tehran, and that's it.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
In whatever you're doing. Religion is not just something that comes to you or is just passed away to you through heredity or just, I don't know, it comes to you just like by heritage. I suppose when you are born in a family with a specific sort of religion, it is not count to be the very starting point of your religious life. The starting point is actually the sparkle that starts to glow in your mind, and then you go for studying more and more, and then to accept a religion for your own self. That is going to be the starting point, not the point where you were born in a religious family, because that is not going to count. Because many of people are born in religious families, but they did not carry any sort of religious ideas in their mind. So let's talk about that starting point and that sparkle in our lives.
I think this discussion is going to be really interesting because everybody has his own journey in Islamic world. And, it doesn't matter where you were born. I mean, your family may have some backgrounds for you about religion and something like that. But there is a time, I think, in everybody's life that I call it a revolutionary time.
Exactly.
There is a revolution in your soul that you will find your way, your path, and your everything, your ideas, your beliefs, your opinions. Everything is kind of place itself in a right way, you know? And after that is the time that you are going through perfection and you are in the road. And I think it differs a lot. I saw a lot of people who found their ways at the age of, for example, 50 or 60.
Exactly.
And there are a group of people who just found it in young ages, like 15 or 13 even, you know? And for me, myself, if I want to tell you, it was like, I was born in a family with these religious principles and this background matters. There are a lot of people who tell that, no, it doesn't matter. I'm the one who chose it. Yes, you are the one who chose it, but this affects a lot.
Of course, yeah. You know? Those who say it does not have any effect, I guess, are big fat liars.
Exactly. And it was about around the age of 13 that I find myself asking questions about the philosophy of me, who I am, who the creator of this world is.
I have, alhamdulillah, I was born in a family, my both parents were Muslims, and I was born in a society where I faced a huge identity crisis throughout my life, because when we were sent to school, we were informed by our parents. The criteria for sending us to schools was to learn better English, learn better, have better secular education. And for that reason, our parents, they admitted us in a very hi-fi school, a competitive school, which definitely was not, everyone was not Muslim around. And we were informed by our parents, just to be social in your school, don't introduce yourself, who you are,
mm-hmm.
or what background you come from. So we were like, growing up in that school and then having always this pressure from the family to not express your identity was like, why do I belong to a religion I cannot express?
Yeah.
Until I was like grown up to some like 15, 16, and then I started thinking, no, I should be able to be myself and at the same time to able to defend myself, what kind of religion I have. Then I come across the books like, I open up the Quran and try to contemplate it, and I try to understand it. And unfortunately, I don't understand anything because whatever I was picking up was a difficult translations, which I really was not able to understand.
Which is a problem for those people who do not know Arabic. But of course, right now and nowadays, they can refer to translations.
Right.
Different sort
today
of
we
translations.
Do have a lot of resources, but like in the times when we do not
had when there was
much,
no much
enough
of
access
to
internet and other stuff or other literary books like that, or you live in a country where Muslims
things are not
live,
easily
so,
available.
Yes.
You were born in a Muslim family, but the society was just the reverse. And then there was this identical crisis that happened to you. And then at the background, you had some sort of Islamic things in your house.
Right.
So that made you think. And they started to work as
trigger.
The sparkles.
Right.
Let's keep it there and then go for a short break. And then we'll be back to hear the rest of your story. Welcome back. You're listening to your favorite program, Back to Reality. I'm Asma, your host. Sister Zainab and Sister Bita are sitting in here and we're having a beautiful discussion. Well, the journey of Sister Zainab is a little bit of a long journey. And we're just, I guess we're reached
so
the very
got
the ending
long
part.
Story, very short. I would say I actually got recognized with the real Islam in Iran itself. I think up to that period of time, I was not really aware about the Islamic things. Although I was a Muslim, although I was living in a Muslim culture, what I had practiced throughout my life was only to wear a hijab since.
So from a non-Islamic society, you came into a Islamic society.
Right. So I think I really got recognized with the real sense of Islam only some 9 years ago.
So the changes are very much visible to you.
Right.
You know what? The changes that we can see in the story of our sister Zainab is somehow so visible, you know? My story is not that visible, you know? The changes that I went through was somehow the inner changes in spiritual
exactly.
ones.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And, you know, in this road, I had two blessings. At first, you know, my family background that I talked about. And the other blessing that I think we all have is the era and the time that we were born in. And in this time, you know, there are so many facilities, so many things that can help us in order to search, in order to have more knowledge, in order to ask our questions.
And there are also
you know?
Those who can deviate us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at the same time that we have the blessing to know more,
there are some dangers
the
in the way
danger
as well.
to know more about what, you know?
The question is, what make us think more about religion? What are the triggers that made us go through that mental search for the religion?
You know, the first trigger I faced was my school. You know, I was in a school that all the students were so curious about these questions. And whenever a kind of religious scholar came to our school, we were like, okay, this person, we're going to suffer him to death because we're going to ask him a lot of questions about everything that came to our mind. And sometimes these questions are the triggers. And the questions were triggers for me, you know, asking about everything. And
you must
you
have
may
a good
go.
Mentor, actually.
Exactly.
Because that person is going to do a lot of good things for you. And
exactly.
If they're not knowledgeable enough, they can deviate you.
I think, again, for me, that was... I used to make sure that I sit in the Soha Kumela. What would trigger me was that this huge assembly of people, all of them, you know, reciting, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, all together. That had some tremendous attraction in itself. I was like, who are they, like, calling to? Is he listening? Is he answering? Is he there? Does he even exist? And then, you know, looking around yourself, looking at the order, like I had a science subject, luckily, those days, and our teachers would tell us, like, the heart beats are like, you know, the science writes, it's lob-dob. But then we had a Muslim teacher who would say, like, it's actually rub-rub. Our heart beats, the sound of our heartbeat is rub-rub. And we have... we have heard this, we have practiced it, we have actually experienced that in the labs. We have very carefully heard this sound. So, you know, looking at the human anatomy in itself.
Exactly, yeah.
Made me actually reconsider.
Oh, that who much can of create... discipline in a body, in a human body, and not just in a human body, in nature as well. You see, from a seed that does not have anything in itself, and it's just something like
that grows up
useless.
Into a beautiful.
A tree can come out, and from that tree, fruits would come out, and then an entire village would eat up from that
tree. Just a human body in itself, like this complex structure, but at the same time, in order, everything in its place. And there was my mom was reading some of the book once, and I told her, "Can you give me the summary of this book?" She told me, like, Imam Ali Alayhis Salaam has said that if you convert entire human body into thread, it will make 3.5 rounds around the whole globe, just one human body. So all these things would, you know, the human body, the science,
all these things would work as a trigger.
Right,
for me. So now, let's just go for a short break and then we'll be back in no time. And then we'll have more for the last part of today's episode.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
So if I want to say it and talk about the triggers, I would say that personally, I myself, just as I was going through studies in my time when I was a teenager, there were some books that were having some titles like In Search of God. And then reading more and reading more, I just went through, just as you said, in society you see something, among your family you see something else, in your brain there is an entirely different thing. All these paradoxical ideas get together and then you feel like, okay, there are too much of paradoxical feelings and thinkings in my mind and in my thought and in my heart. So I just want to give them an order, a direction. I want to know where am I going to. And then you come across the concept of death. Whenever there was a person who was just buried in front of me, I was just looking at that and think of my life. Okay, was it all? So this is an end to my life? And then all of these questions started to make me feel, okay, I need to know more and I need to understand and set the setting for myself. I have to have these basic thoughts and ideas and I have to have this creed so strongly in a way that I get a hold of it and then know what I'm doing.
Right.
And all of these things really would push you into the direction where you find your true path. Mostly they would happen in your teenage time when you're just a teenager. But then there are some people who would get into that point in their 50s. And then they leave for just 2 years after that, but they end up as martyrs. We have it in history and we have it in our religion. Many times we...
So I think everybody has their own special and unique way to find your ways. You know, you may have different blessings, different triggers, but at the end, we all are human beings, and human beings have the same fitrat or nature.
Yeah.
And this nature have the strong urge.
You should look into your inner part.
Exactly. And this actually nature has the strong urge to find the right path and to worship the Allah Almighty.
Exactly. Yeah. So Sister Zainab, your final word?
Yeah, I think one of the best things my parents did with me was they were open to discussions. They were like, there was a Christian friend who gifted me Bible. And I was like, looking at my father, he said, accept it. Because Quran says, أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Why don't you do tafakkur? Why don't you
Just read it and go for the best idea.
Yeah. And I would find very much fit in the Islamic perspective.
So this is also another important factor. We must have some discussions and the parents or the society, the schools must be open.
And
to
I
this
think
is
that
with knowledgeable mentors, of course.
Right.
Pick the best one for yourself.
Right.
Of course,
it should not be
one.
Genetic, really. If it's genetic, it's a disaster again.
Yeah.
And I think this was one of the very beautiful things that helped me make my faith very, very firm was intra-religious discussions and, you know, knowledge from all the friends gathering that. And we did have some common points.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Zainab, and thank you, Sister Bita, thank you, dear listeners. I hope it was fruitful for you. So wherever you are, I hope God to be on your side forever. And thank you for staying with us. Until another session, I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.